Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
You know, I've been talking about earned media value for quite some time on this podcast. My friends at Eisenberg have just raised the bar on earned media benchmarks with their Social Index. Social Index now gives you globally earned media values across a growing list of 6 geographies for all your KPIs across the top 7 social platforms: Facebook, Instagram, LinkedIn, Snapchat, TikTok, Twitter, and YouTube. You can now visualize these values for deeper analysis, and they have a look-back window over 2 years of historical comparisons. Social Index is updated daily. Don't get stuck with old data. Over 1,000 companies have used the Social Index to understand the ROI of their social campaigns. And if you work with a social agency, you should demand they incorporate earned media values into your reports. Get your earned media value for social content. Visit earnedmediavalues.com/Allen. Again, that's earnedmediavalues.com/ALAN.
LinkedIn presents.
For all of us, it's about predicting where the consumer is going and getting half of it right.
One of the things we want to do is create ads that don't suck.
Embracing change creates great possibility.
I'm Alan Hart, and this is Marketing Today.
Today on the show, I've got Jason Andre. He's the chief marketing officer of one of the fastest growing companies in the country, New Fabrics. Jason has over 15 years of success within the healthcare industry, and he joined New Fabrics from GlaxoSmithKline, where he led their global digital marketing department, executing marketing strategies across global categories. On the show today, we talk a little bit about his new product, New Fabrics, and the company itself, what they're doing, how they're building a new category of putting medicine in clothing, and the product that they have out in the market today, which is for pain relief through compression sleeves. We talk about biohacking, how to build and think about a new product, new brand, new category, co-opetition with other folks through their B2B offering that they have, licensing the technology that they developed and innovated around, and much more. So I hope you enjoy this conversation with Jason Andre. Jason, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks, Alan. Thanks for having me.
It's not every day you get to talk to a real life cowboy. I hear you've made a living in some form or fashion from showing cattle, and you actually own 2 working farms. Yeah. I have to know more about this.
It's funny to start off this way, but you know, as I've traveled around a bit and kind of told my story, I find how interesting it is to other people. It's obviously not that interesting to me, but yeah, so I grew up showing steers around the U.S. We raised them and then showed them throughout, I guess, the cattle circuit. But that put me in, I grew up in 4-H and FFA, and then I started showing cattle and a little bit of pigs on the side. But yeah, we showed crossbreds as a kid and really into my early 20s. And it's how I bought my first car. It's how I started to pay my way through college. I grew up on a farm, obviously, to allow me to do that. I wasn't an inner city kid showing cattle. But yeah, I did that with my siblings. And now I've grown to own those farms with my siblings. And so we don't have livestock anymore, but we do grow wheat, soybean, and corn. And, you know, we sell that during the season for harvest. So yeah, I guess in a literal sense, I'm a cowboy.
Well, I love it. I love it. And I'm not exactly sure how we're going to transition to marketing, but we'll get there. So
it can be.
Yeah. I mean, I guess technically it's you were responsible for the product, the marketing and the sales.
Well, 100%. And showing a cow is all about presentation. And you have the competition in the ring. You have to groom the steer to show best in class. It requires everything from bathing it to feeding it to actually spray painting it.
I have to ask because pigs were involved. You did not put lipstick on a pig, did you?
No, like that? You did not put lipstick on a pig, but you do sometimes put nail polish on a hoof.
Oh my Lord. Well, I've always wondered if that putting lipstick on a pig saying came from something that was real. So I think I can scratch that off my list.
not in anything I was involved in. Okay.
All right. Well, from cowboy life to marketing, what was your path, if you will, to becoming the chief marketing officer at New Fabrics?
So right after showing a cow, no. I really kind of got into marketing through sales, to be honest with you. I was always interested in marketing, but was a firm believer I should start a career in sales. And that's how I did it. And then I kind of worked my way around a large matrix organization. You know, it was GlaxoSmithKline. I had 15 years there and absolutely loved it. But started in sales. I did a stint in innovation, then really got into brand marketing. But for me, what was interesting, there was a common thread of launching new products. I was able to always be on a product that wasn't in market, and then we brought it to market through all of my roles. And then that's where my passion for marketing really grew. I don't see marketing as just ads. I do see marketing as a strategic engine for an entire brand and an entire business. And so as that grew and I moved up what I think a lot of people know as the traditional marketing ladder, I ended up in a really nice space where I became an expert, not just in marketing, but it was more digital marketing, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. Because I had the pleasure of working on brands before they hit the market. So I also had the liberty of working with a budget that was a little bit fictitious in the fact that I could put a higher weight towards digital. And so, yeah, and then I ended up at GSK living in Switzerland, and I was running their digital content team. I absolutely loved that. And I think then my passion for marketing grew into a passion for leadership, because I was able to manage a large team there. And I really just felt then was the time. And I really wanted to find a brand that I personally believed in. That's when I came across New Fabrics. And when I fell in love with that and really aligned myself to their mission, it made sense. And so that's when I made the jump from big pharma company to small healthcare startup.
I love it. Well, tell us a little bit about New Fabrics. What does the company do? How was it formed? That kind of thing.
Yeah. So I'm very proud to work with New Fabrics and our products. And simply put, we put medicine in clothing. And so that sounds weird to some, but the company's really developed a really unique platform where we're able to take any active ingredient, a vitamin or supplement, and we break that down into a water-soluble state, and we're able to impregnate yarn with it. And so from that yarn, we're able to make garments. And we can make anything, as you can imagine, from a yarn. So we can make t-shirts, shorts, etc. But what we sell at retail, which is what I love, is for the pain category. And we sell a compression sleeve that already has in it pain relieving medicine. So not only do you just put on a support for your pain, it's actually transdermally delivering medicine right to the source of your pain. And so I found that incredibly fascinating from a product and a huge opportunity to help the pain category. But then, as you can imagine, the possibilities are infinite in the fact that we can put any active ingredient in any product. So we're working on doing that now through our platform, which is really exciting for me, not just from a marketing, but from an innovation standpoint.
Yeah. No, I mean, it's fascinating if you think about it. And the company is based, if I'm not mistaken, in North Carolina.
That's right.
That's the state I grew up in. So near and dear to my heart. But it's also the textiles, like Mecca, if you will. It must be related in some respect.
No, yeah, you're 100% right. So our founder founded the company in Seattle, but quickly realized that the technology really was based in, as you mentioned, textiles. Mm. And so he moved the company to North Carolina to work with experts in that industry. I think he was disrupting the textile industry 100% by putting medicine in it. And at the time, he needed people to help understand how to do that from a mill perspective. Mm-hmm. So relocated here, we're 100% based, and we source all of our product materials from with 90 miles from our manufacturing plant here in North Carolina. And I'm proud to say that we work with what I think some of the leading innovators within the textile industry. So yeah, that's what brought us to North Carolina. And I'm recently calling it home because I just moved here.
Ah, that's awesome. That's awesome. Well, I hope you enjoy it as much as I did growing up there.
It's beautiful. It's actually beautiful.
Yeah. Yeah. It's the best state in the 50 states, in my opinion, but I'm biased.
I'm starting to agree with you.
Yeah. Well, and the other thing that's interesting about that state and the fact that the company is located there is you've got pretty big research centers. I mean, you've got in the Research Triangle area, you've got most of the major pharmaceutical companies have some sort of headquarters, including GlaxoSmithKline, yes. Where you came from.
Yeah, so I'm familiar with Triangle Circle, and I've been there since under a new badge name. And so Triangle Circle is something I'm familiar with. But what's interesting, too, to your point on science, we actually partner with, we have labs at UNCC. Mm. And so we do development there with the students, and it's something that I actually was doing yesterday, which is pretty cool to watch.
Oh, that's awesome. That's awesome. Well, I mean, putting medicine in fabrics or clothing and yarn, it sounds a little like biohacking, and that it seems to be a trend that's growing. Mm-hmm. I mean, the first podcast I started listening to myself was Tim Ferriss' show, uh-huh. And Tim is crazy because he does all kinds of experiments on himself, right, mm-hmm. to try to figure out how to create even more wellness than you can imagine. And so I'm curious, are you seeing this too, like a move towards mainstream biohacking, if you will?
100%. And I think it's definitely a trend that's coming up that we're seeing from the consumers. And it's for me, it's really based in personalization. Everyone believes, as they should, that they're unique and what's going to ail them is different. And so we're seeing consumers come up with personalized regimens. What they use and put on their face in the morning is different than what they use and put on their face at night. And everyone's trying to have a more of a holistic approach. And I think that doesn't mean they're not using medicines and things like that. They're really lugging them together in a personal way. And if you think about our product, it fits really great into that. And compression sleeves, for example, 10 years ago, probably wasn't something you'd see at the gym. And now I feel it's even trending from a fashion statement. I think you see a lot of people wearing compression pants who probably aren't needing the support, but you're just seeing that as something regular that people are using to treat their pain. And then topicals, right? Topical pain relief is something new here in the US in the past decade or so. And we're really bringing those two together. So we understood that consumers were kind of treating their pain with multiple products. And we really did bring two together. And it's really interesting too, because I would say it's how our founder and CEO developed the product, because when he was in college, his dermatologist, he suffered from bad acne like several of us. And his dermatologist told him that he needed to wash his bed sheets more often, that was one of the sources of his acne. And he will say it time and time again, wasn't going to happen. He's like, I'm not interested in washing my sheets that often. I think as anybody in college would probably agree to. So yeah. He started putting his medicine in his sheets. Okay. And then hence was the birth of this product. And it's since grown over the years from that. But he was probably biohacking before all of us.
That's funny. That's really funny. Well, I mean, I actually had somebody on recently, David Fossis from Restore Hyper Wellness. I feel like I need to make an introduction to you guys, because they're in that biohacking space as well. I don't know if you would call it that, but opening retail locations for various kinds of treatment opportunities and things mm-hmm. like that.
So, yeah.
But it's definitely, I think, something that's catching on. And you talk about compression wear, so to speak. I go to the gym and there's this one woman in there that I think is completely coated in neoprene. Mm-hmm. But as I get older, I'm starting to really become attracted to things that can help with pain.
Yes, so, preventive.
Yes, exactly. I may be a new customer very soon.
Love that. So.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
But how do you think about and begin to build a new brand and a product into a leader in a relatively new category, it seems, mm-hmm. as well?
No, it's really interesting, I think, too, from the category perspective, because we're really trying to build a new category within the space of healthwear. It's not mm-hmm. something people are familiar with. It's definitely a new way of delivering medicine. And so it isn't easy, but I think for me, it's all about identifying the white space, which isn't an original idea. That's something that we all talk about, but I think it's not forgetting that. Everybody suffers from pain, talking about our category specifically, but it's unique and personal for everybody. The way that you feel pain is going to be different than the way that I feel pain. And really identifying what's missing in that pain journey and capitalizing on it. And so we believe that we are delivering something new to the consumer that is a better experience. So not only do we need to bring that brand to the forefront, we actually have to develop that category. And we talk a lot about healthwear and the benefits of treating directly at the source, something you can wear all day for pain relief, which is what everyone's searching for but not finding, and really staying true and working within that white space and not worrying so much, I guess, about your competition and what they're doing, because I think a lot of things we talk about at New Fabrics is there isn't any competition.
Right.
There's nobody in healthwear. So why would we follow what pills and creams are doing? So we kind of just carve our own way. And again, it for me, it's operating in that white space.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I like some of the benefits you're just outlining, the combination. I mean, it makes sense, right? You're combining a treatment, like what might be a cream or some sort of topical treatment with actual apparel of some sort, and making those benefits come together, if you will. So treating at the source and wearing it all day, it makes logical sense. But it also, to your point, in the white space, it's not something I've seen before. And so it does take a little bit of education, I would guess.
Yes. Yeah, 100%. And it's all about the creative and the messaging, because we find with our story, the reaction we get is if we're able to tell it in an appropriate way, everyone's like, wow, what an amazing product. Sounds amazing. I'd love to try that. But to your point, it's how do you get that message in front of people? And as we all know, in a very short amount of time. And it is a complex story. So I think creative and messaging really, really matters for us. And it's how do you articulate a difficult message, and to me, a real scientific message, in a very short amount of time. And so I feel like we're doing that. And we've actually seen a lot of repeat purchasers because of that, which is amazing. So we know the product works. And so that's just been our target from a healthwear perspective.
Love it. Well, how are you thinking about kind of building marketing, if you will, that helps you stand out from your competition?
Yeah. Honestly, and it's kind of going to go back to basic. It's strong creative. I think I think a lot of marketers forget about that, and don't misread that. And like, I'm a firm believer in marketing, honestly. Like I do think we have to go after the right person at the right time, but I think it's the delivering that right message that a lot of time falls flat. I mean, everybody, like we said, suffers from pain. So therefore, they're familiar with this category. They're familiar with what works and what doesn't work for them. So we have to get in front of them with something that's going to make them rethink their message or their selection, I mean. And right. And it's just interesting, because since this category, people are constantly searching for something new, we don't have to take that much time to offer them the new solution. And so we're really able to just kind of play with our creative in a really unique way. And I also think what's special about it is people who are the most familiar with pain, to be honest, are going to tend to be a little bit older. And I think sometimes that demographic gets forgot about, and everyone wants to kind of message in a fun and a cool way to a younger target. And I think we're trying and creating fun and unique ways to message to an older demographic, which to be honest with you, I love, because it's not something I've really done before. It's not something a lot of people are doing. And when done right, I think you're going to gain a lot of loyalist consumers.
Yeah. No, it's fascinating that you bring that up, because a friend of mine who's been on the show before, he's kind of a marketing commentator, if you will, Bob Hoffman. He's also an old curmudgeon. but he talks about the fact that like everyone in marketing is focused on the young consumer, right? Mm-hmm. Because they're like the next generation. And he's like, but if you think about it in terms of like disposable income, they have the least amount of disposable income. And cars, luxury items, all are mostly purchased by older people, in the grand scheme of things. And it is an untapped market. Like we don't, as an industry, don't typically focus on them. And so, it's awesome. It's awesome.
Yeah. Well, it's funny too, like older people don't feel old. And so a lot of times brands are just like, okay, we need to, for this demographic, just switch out the talent for someone 50 plus.
Right.
And that's just not correct. And I think you really need to talk to them as people, because to be honest, to your point, not only are they valuable, but they're people who don't resonate with someone who has gray hair and running through a field.
Right.
They want to be spoke to in a way that doesn't make them feel isolated or not like who they are.
Right. I mean, that you can tell that, like, it cracks me up. Occasionally I'll catch the AARP magazine front cover, right? And it's always somebody like George Clooney or right at the cusp of actually qualifying for AARP.
Yeah.
Because no one wants to see themselves as that gray haired old person. We don't think about, like, even the people that have gray hair and are older, they don't think they see themselves as their 30 or 40 year old selves. You know?
No, I completely agree. And with AARP, we love AARP. We were actually featured. They wrote an article about us in December and it did really well for us. And I completely agree with you that people don't. I think also too, people judge AARP. They think it's like a bunch of really old people. Like, no,
right.
There's a lot of us at New Fabrics who subscribe to AARP.
Right. I don't think I'm too far off the demographic. I think I've got a few more years, but I think it's pretty low threshold, like 50 or 55, something like that. And I don't see 50 as old people. So.
No. That's the message you should take away.
Yes. So, it's awesome. I mean, it's great. It sounds like a fantastic product and pretty interesting, like the target that you're focused on today and the white space that you found. I mean, you are a newer brand and you've got you've got, I would imagine, definitely smaller budgets than a GSK. So like how do you think about the jiu-jitsu that you have to do to make that budget or that, you know, smaller amount of resources work harder for you?
So it's a really great question. It's probably a question we have to answer every day. And I mean, the obvious answer is you have to be flexible, but to be honest, it's like flexing on a daily basis. And it's ensuring that every dollar doesn't go to waste. And any marketer obviously would agree to that. But I think for us, it's very different in the sense that we have to pivot, not only with the consumer, but with the platform. There's going to be some months where we feel that social media is actually really driving a lot of conversion for us, but then we'll quickly realize that advertisements on Walmart.com or Amazon then are converting at a higher rate. And we start to budget immediately because I can't afford to have dollars that aren't just driving.
Right.
And then the other side of that is, which I think is the harder question to answer, is like, how do you get broad awareness? We were talking about the category creation and a new product, and how do you message that? Like, that does require broad awareness. And honestly, we do that through laser targeting and making sure that we're only hitting the demographic that we're setting out for. We do that through directed TV. YouTube is actually a great channel and converts for us really well. And so it's just being close with the consumer and where they're going. But then also there's this side where I have a great relationship with our chief revenue officer, and it's making sure that retail is also getting the attention it needs and making sure that we're advertising on those platforms and channels. So it's really just being flexible. I also think it's just working within your parameters and taking calculated risks. A lot of things then we talk about is, do we believe that this spend is going to return? And there's a lot of things we want to do that are big and audacious that we're like, you know what? We don't know because we've never done it before, but we believe that it will. And sometimes it pays off and sometimes it doesn't. I think a lot of people think with smaller budgets, you're not able to take risks, but we definitely do. I think we're playing on the fringes of that for sure, because we have to invest our money where we know is working. But at the same time, we don't want to miss an opportunity or a leap step opportunity, really. So if we believe it's going to touch the masses, it is something that we go after.
That's awesome. Well, I know that you're both kind of a consumer brand, if you will, in various retail as mm-hmm. well, but you also, the company offers licensing of the underlying innovation that you've developed. And so you're in the B2B market as well. Yeah. What does that side of the business look like?
It's a great question. And it's actually something that I get to spend a lot of time in. And it's very exciting to me and kind of goes back to my roots with innovation. But as you can imagine, we own the technology that not only allows you to infuse medicine or active ingredients into yarn, but it actually coats it as well. So our products you can wash and the medicine doesn't run out. The technology allows for a skin activated time release technology, which is extremely beneficial. And like you had mentioned, we at retail have a pain compression sleeve that we sell, but we also license that technologies to other companies who want to do similar things, whether it's in bedding is a good example, apparel. There's a lot of performance apparel brands out there who claim to be able to improve your performance. What if they were able to enhance that performance by delivering some sort of a vitamin or active ingredient through their clothing? So as you can imagine, I can't mention anybody.
Right, right.
You know, apparel companies don't put medicine in clothing. And let's be honest, pharmaceutical companies don't make clothing. And so with the creation of healthwear, we're sitting at the intersection where we can do that for either party. And so what's exciting to me about that is I get to work with some large brands, even though I'm a small brand. And I think for me that is very exciting because I get to see and work still with both sides of the branding world, which is really exciting. And let's be honest, like I think sometimes too, people would say that that's crazy. This is your competition. We really don't think that way. We invite that in and figure out like innovation can only come from the consumer behavior. And so if that's true, going even back to biohacking, we have to work with individuals who consumers view as solutions as well.
Right. I always thought about that as like co-opetition because you're building an entirely new category. It mm-hmm. actually is helpful to have other people in the category helping build it as well.
That's right. That's right. And we know brands that do that, right? Like mm-hmm. the Intel Inside type of thing.
Right. Yep.
And so if a larger brand wants to and is going to carry our technology, I think that's an amazing opportunity to get in front of consumers and help educate them that this is a way to receive medicine or vitamins. And so, yeah, we get to work with a lot of brands. And then true innovation comes from those discussions. Things that we would never create on our own, we're able to create with others, which is fascinating.
Yeah, it's awesome. Well, it's a fascinating business. I think something that hopefully listeners will check out because it's truly white space. But one of the things we love to do on the show is get to know you a little bit more. We know apparently lipstick doesn't go on a pig, but you've lived that cowboy life. I'm curious if there's been other experiences of your past that define or make up who you are today.
Yeah. So not to take like a tone turn for the worse, but
no. Okay.
So I lost both of my parents at a very young age and very close together. And that unfortunately was an event that really changed my path, but it taught me a lot about what I'll call how to handle my ambition. I think, and it made me realize that you have to turn really negative situations into positive ones. And what that taught me about ambition is like, you don't want to lose your ambition, but I think you need to make sure that your ambition is something that positively feeds you versus negatively. I've met so many successful and ambitious people who are just worn out. Their ambition stresses them out. And I'm a firm believer that your ambition should be something that makes you grow. And and it's something that feeds your drive, doesn't deplete it. Mm. And so, yeah, that unfortunately is something that is really an event that made me change my direction, but it also, I think, has made me the leader I am and how I work with people and really kind of how I look at, you know, the future.
That's awesome. Well, it's great to be able to turn something like that into a positive experience. It's motivating as well. Right. So, well, what advice would you give your younger self if you're starting this journey all over again?
So many things. I think what it would be for me is plan out your career because no one's going to do it for you. But don't think about it as what I'm going to do next. Think about it as what you're going to do in the next three or four moves and let the next move leave room for where you want to go. And also to take opportunities that might surprise you, because my career, have I ended up where I wanted to? I'd like to think so. How I got here, could I have imagined it? No. So I would say plan it out, but don't plan it out to a point where it doesn't allow you to take new roads.
Yeah. It's interesting you say it. Like, I've never heard somebody put it quite like that. Like, I've heard like the jungle gym approach versus the ladder approach. But I think you're right. Like, it's not making the next step so crystal clear that you lose track of where trying to get to.
No, I completely agree, because I think so many people are just focused on their next step.
Yeah.
And therefore they lose sight of the bigger picture.
Right.
And so, yeah, it's just keep your eye on the future and then how you're going to get there. Let that grow. Let that be flexible. But don't change your goalpost.
Right. Well, is there a topic you think marketers need to be learning more about, or maybe something you're trying to learn more about yourself?
It's kind of like that creative point we were talking about. I think for me, marketers are always worried, and as they should be, about how to leverage the data we have access to and making sure that everything is performing correctly, which is something you cannot lose sight of. You need that. But for me, the foundation is creative and learning what stories resonate and what trends are popular and following those. And so for me, I'm always constantly looking to read less about marketing and performance, and I'm looking more for what creative is moving the needle. How do you tell better stories? And so that's something I would tell marketers, like, please don't lose sight of it, because to be honest with you, it's probably the reason you got into marketing. Right. You probably fell in love with that creative side, and your passion was art and things like that. And I was like, please revisit that. Please continue to grow in that area.
Yeah. Well, and I think most people forget that. I can't remember the actual stats. I'm gonna be a little liberal here, but I want to say something that it's greater than 50% of effectiveness is driven by how you execute the message, right? Like the creative aspect of it, 100%. Not where you place it or the money you're spending behind it. And we do become a little too obsessed with those things and forget that there's a bigger dial on the other side.
I agree. And you have to, and you have to grow that muscle, or you have to continuously grow that muscle, is what I mean.
Right. Yeah. I agree. Well, on a personal level, are there any brands or companies or causes that you follow or you think other people should be taking notice of?
So I don't know how familiar would be with this, and maybe I'll regret it, but something I've been reading a lot about. Have you heard about the microbiome and its effect to your health?
I've heard a little bit about it, but I need to learn more.
So it's this idea, and you're starting to see brands put on their labels like that it's microbiome gentle or microbiome safe. And so there's a lot of studies currently taking place. They haven't published yet, but this idea that your microbiome sits on top of your skin and it's actually part of your what drives your health. And I've listened and talked to some scientists who believe that through products, we've actually damaged our microbiome, and it's what's causing inflammation and certain diseases within the population. And so I don't know. I've kind of become obsessed with it, but I do think it's something that's going to hit the market and consumers are going to pay a lot of attention to. And I think consumers are going to shift to, how does this product affect my health?
Yeah.
Does this damage my microbiome? And so it's something that for me is like a cause I've really been researching. One, from a personal level, I'm very curious about it. But two, I'm looking for how that's going to change regulations and how that's going to change consumers' minds about how they select products. So it's something that if you haven't heard about, I would definitely look into it. It could turn out to be nothing, but for me, I think there's a lot of traction there.
Yeah, no, it sounds interesting. I mean, we don't think about it because you can't see it, right? But there's a lot of things happening on the skin of our bodies. Yeah. And we think it's just skin, but no, it's like a living
organism. It's a living organism. Yeah, totally. Yeah. And then even to the trend on biohacking, people are starting to notice that certain products do or don't work for them. Mm-hmm. It doesn't mean that they do or don't work for other people's. And I think people are starting to notice that. Why and what's driving that, I think we don't know, but maybe the answer is here.
Yeah. Interesting. I have to learn more myself. So thank you for...
Well, you won't find a lot. I think it's a newer thing. Yeah.
Well, I'll check into it for sure. Well, last question for you. What do you think is the largest opportunity or biggest threat facing marketers today?
It's an opportunity and a threat. Is I think the speed of the consumer. Mm-hmm. I mean, honestly, it's changing so fast. I think for me personally, and potentially for a lot of other people, is you used to spend all this time building a perfect strategy and a perfect narrative. And quite honestly, by the time you actually delivered it, the consumer was changed their opinion and their stance on it. And so I think we really have to respect that. And so I think, yeah, the rate in which the consumer changes can be an amazing, powerful resource for you if you play into it. But if not, it can be a huge weakness.
Fascinating. Well, Jason, thank you so much for enlightening us on this new white space, how you're growing a category and a brand. It's been a great conversation.
All right. I really enjoyed your time, Alan. Thank you so much.
Hi, it's Alan again. Marketing Today was created and produced by me with post-production support from Sam Robertson. If you're new to Marketing Today, please feel free to write us a review on iTunes or your favorite listening platform. Don't forget to subscribe on marketingtodaypodcast.com. Tell your friends and colleagues about the show. I love hearing from listeners. You can contact me at marketingtodaypodcast.com. There you'll also find complete show notes and links to what was discussed in the episode today, and you can search our archives. I'm Alan Hart, and this is Marketing Today.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.